First Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. Now these were the sons of David, which were born unto him in Hebron, the first Amnon of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, the second Daniel of Abigail the Carmelitess, the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, the fourth Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And I want to read from 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 2. You don't have to turn to that. It's pretty much the same verses with the exception of one different name. And unto David were sons born in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon of Hinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second, Chileab. That's the same one in the previous verse that was named Daniel. So here we've got a man's actually got two names. One was Daniel, the other Chileab, of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth Adonijah, the son of Haggith. Hallelujah. Well, didn't that just excite you? Oh, I tell you what, I could have just went ahead and read all those chronicles, and we'd probably been running the aisles by the time I got done. But that's all I'm going to read to you tonight. And in this, in these, both these verses, we find a list of the first four sons of King David. King David was a great man, man after God's own heart, but he didn't do so well when it came to his sons. And four sons here. The first was Amnon. The second, a man named Daniel or Chileab. Either word refers to him. The third, Absalom. The fourth, Adonijah. If you've ever read your Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you're going to recognize at least three of these four names. Amnon, very, very known. Absalom, very known. Adonijah, very known. But this middle son, the second son, Daniel or Chileab, not a whole lot's known about him. And so I want to talk to you here tonight about being known for nothing. Being known for nothing. David's other three sons, I really want to talk about them first. And then I'm going to get down to Chileab. David's three of his four sons were kind of famous or infamous, really. They had a pretty bad record and a pretty bad reputation. Three of his four sons, but this second son, Daniel, that's not the Daniel that wrote the book of Daniel. This is not the prophet Daniel, but this second son, really nothing is hardly known about him. Right. We don't hardly know anything about him, but I want to talk to you about him. I want to talk to you about all four of these, but I want to talk to you. Number one, I want to talk to you about Amnon, and Amnon was known for his lust. That's really what he's known for. He was known as a man that did not care who he hurt as long as he got what he wanted. That's what Amnon was. That's the type of man that Amnon was. He was the one that, if you'll read there in 2 Samuel, that Amnon began to desire his sister Tamar, and he had a friend named Jonadab who was a very subtle man, and he told Amnon how he could get what he wanted, get his way with Tamar. And hey, you read down through those verses and you'll find that Amnon did exactly what his friend recommended and had his way, got what he wanted, regardless of how it hurt his father, regardless of how it hurt Tamar, regardless of how anyone felt about it. Amnon was the type of person that was governed and controlled by his lust. I know it's the youth service tonight, and I looked around at the young people, and really that is an issue that must be dealt with. We think of lust when it comes to the physical attraction, but there's also the lust of the world and the lust of the eyes, and there are many areas that lust can be involved. But you know what you find out? You find out that people that are controlled by their lust, that are known for their lust,
you'll find that they're the type of people that don't care who they hurt or how it goes, as long as they are able to gratify the lust that's in their heart. Now we got all these young people here, and some of the older ones over here, and some of the middle age over here, Sister April, and some of the elderly, Brother Art, right out here. We've got all ages here. I've got a little bit of everybody. But you know, there never comes a time that the devil does not draw on our lust. There never comes a time when the devil does not attract us with the things of the world. There never is a time when the devil does not pull at us with worldliness and with the affections and the cares of this world. And today there are people that they are known for their lust. There are those that they're known if a new fad comes through, they're going to be behind it. If a new sin comes through, they're going to be behind it. Because that is what they're known for. But I want you to know that with Amnon here, his lust led to his downfall. Here's a man that in his desire went and did what he wanted to do. And down the road a few years later, his brother Absalom finds him and tells his servants, when his heart's merry, then smite Amnon. And I tell you here tonight, that those that are known for being led by their lust, those that are known for being led by their affections and the things of this world, are going to one day come to a very terrible end. Oh, yeah. When they're known for their lust. Hopefully it's going to get a little better here for too long, so stay with me. Number two was Absalom. I know he was the third son, but we're going to skip that other. We're going to get to him later. Number two I want to talk to you about was Absalom. And Absalom was known for his looks. He was known in all Israel. There was none to be so praised as Absalom for beauty, from the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head. There was no blemish in him. And when he pulled his hair, for is it every year's end that he pulled it, because the hair was heavy on him. Therefore he pulled it. The weight of the hair of his head was 200 shekels after the king's weight. Here is a man that the only thing he was known for was his looks. He's a man that was known for being handsome, being good looking. He was known for all of this. That's what Absalom was known for. But I'll tell you that sometimes we put too much stock in our looks and our accomplishments and the things that we can do and what we can accomplish and how we can be. That's the kind of man that Absalom was. In fact, you find that Absalom, during his life, went out and erected a pillar under himself and caught it at Absalom's place. But I want to tell you that God's really not impressed when you're known for your accomplishments. God really is not pleased when the only thing that can be said about you is they sure look nice, or look what they've done. But God wants more than that out of His people. Absalom was known. Here's what I am. Here's what I've got. Here's who I am.
Yeah.
I mean, he made a big deal out of it. And if we're not very careful, young people, the devil will get us. And the devil will draw us into that trap of thinking that only our looks or only our accomplishments or only who we are or only who we run with, it's really all that matters. But I want to tell you that there's more than that that matters. God's really not impressed by how nice your suit is. God's really not impressed by how nice you fix your hair. God's not really impressed, James, by how many letters are behind your name. Really, God don't care. I'm proud of Him. They did that deal for the alumni, and I printed up the return address labels, and I put in there Dr. James Vance. He came in and saw him. Boy, he threw a fit. He said, "You're not going to put that on there." I said, "I already did, and I'm not printing them again." And so I'm proud of Him. But you know what? God's not impressed by stuff like that. That doesn't really matter to God. But there are things that matter to God. And I'm afraid in the world we live, We put too much emphasis on the outside. I'm afraid we put too much focus on who we run with or what we do or how nice of a home or how nice of a car or what exactly we've accomplished. But don't you know that God wants more than that out of His people? And that hair, that pride of his, was his downfall. One day, Absalom decided, I'm as good looking as my dad.
Yeah.
I'm as accomplished as my dad.
Yeah.
He prepared those to run before him. And he rose up early and stood the way of the gate. And anybody that came in, and he would ask where they were from, and he would say, this matter's good and right, but you know, nobody cares about you. But listen, I care about you. I care about you. Oh, you look to Absalom. Don't look at everything else, but look at Absalom. And so Absalom would tell them, oh, that I were made a judge in Israel. I'd do everybody justice. You see, Absalom's life was all about building Absalom higher and higher. Absalom's goal in life was how many people Absalom could get looking up to him. But I'll tell you, God's really not concerned about all of that. We get our priorities in the wrong place. Sometimes the things that we think amount to something, in God's eyes, they're really nothing. Sometimes the accomplishments and all the great things that we come up with, in God's eyes, they really don't matter at all. So Absalom stole the hearts of the people of Israel. He got their affection. He gathered a little crowd around him. You ever watch people like that? They work the crowd. Huh? They work the crowd. Yeah, I like you. I want you on my side. Boy, you could go places with somebody like me. Woo! I mean, you could really be something important if you just learn to hang around the right people. You could really accomplish something if you just had the right person pushing you and backing you. But you know what? In God's eyes, God's not concerned about any of that. God's not worried about any of that. And so what happens to Absalom? He rebels against his father. There's David has to flee. Absalom sits on the throne. He defiles his father's household. He says, I can do what I want because look who I am. Oh, but I want to tell you, God wasn't through with Absalom. And as Absalom's running out through that field that day on that mule, and that beautiful hair is a-flowing in the breeze, he goes under that tree, and the hair grabs in the tree, and the mule runs off, and there hangs Absalom between the heaven and the earth. And Joab comes along with three darts and thrusts them through his heart. I want to tell you that the empires that we build and the things we seek to accomplish, in God's eyes, they're going to crumble, they're going to fail if we have not built our attention on God. Now, I'm not against having things, doing things. I'd have more if any of y'all want to give me any. I'm not against all that. But the Bible says to set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. And so many times we get our priorities all out of line, and we're working to build our kingdom instead of God's kingdom. And that's what we're known for. Number four was Adonijah. And Adonijah was a man that was known for his liberty. He could do whatever he wanted. Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? Here Adonijah is. He's out of line. Here Adonijah is. He's
exalting himself as king. But his father never would look at him and say, no. Sometimes we don't like restrictions. We don't like Brother Horton to say, no. Sometimes we pride ourselves, nobody's my boss. Nobody's my boss. Nobody's going to tell me. Nobody's going to rule me. I'm going to do what I want. But I want to tell you, God has put every one of us under authority. In this church, do you know who my authority is? Brother Bob, Brother Ralph. And Brother Ralph, if you ever see me out of line, just ease up to me real gently and take this microphone. Don't be too rough. But you know, a lot of people, that preacher ain't my boss. That authority, that school teacher, I don't have to listen to them. I don't have to obey that. I don't have to do that. Oh yeah, you're just like Adonijah. You're known for your liberty. But I'm going to tell you, it didn't end up very good for Adonijah. Oh yeah, you're one of those that you don't have to listen to nobody. And I can't wait till I'm 18 and nobody can tell me what to do. And nobody can straighten me out. And nobody can tell me what I'm going to do. But I'll tell you that when you get that spirit of rebellion, that spirit of I'm liberated, nobody can tell me how you're headed down a long, bad, a dark road. And you may be known for your liberty. But here's son number 3 of David. That we find Adonijah rising up in rebellion against his brother and saying, I'll be king instead of Solomon. I'll be king instead of Daddy. Oh, I want to tell you, when you have that spirit of liberty, nobody's telling me what I'm going to do. You're out of line with God. You hear me? You're out of line with God. And when I ever get in my pastor's face, I need slapped. I've not agreed with every pastor I've ever had. My dad was my pastor. I guarantee I didn't always agree with him. But you know what? I can stand before God and say I've never got in my pastor's face and lined my pastor out. Never done it. If God will help me, I never will. But listen, you may say I'm a maverick. I'm independent. I do my own thinking. I've got liberty. Go ahead, Adonijah. He was unrestrained. He had no curfew. He had no limits. His dad never said, what are you doing, boy? He could do what he wanted. And that spirit of rebellion, he rebelled against his father. Solomon was anointed king. Solomon called him in and said, I'm going to let you live. But if evil be found in you, I'm going to give you another chance, boy. I'm going to give you another chance. And you know what Adonijah did? Adonijah said, I got away with it last time. Yeah. And nothing happened. Come on. I did it last time. Yeah. I didn't get any trouble. I cheated last time. I disrespected last time. And I never got any trouble. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. I'm free. But one day Adonijah decided, Abishag, who was his father's really, probably, almost legally a wife, he said, I want to be married to the king's wife. And he gets Solomon's mother to go to Solomon and say, would you give Abishag, your father's wife, to your brother? And Solomon says, if he's married to the queen, what's he want next, the kingdom?
And he commanded his servant to go out and fall upon Adonijah. That rebellion that said, I got away with it before. I rebelled against him before and I got away with it. I'll do it again. That time, there was an end put to it. So we got one known for his lust. One known for his looks. One known for his liberty. But we got Daniel. Or Chileab. He just wasn't known for nothing. He didn't have no bad name. He didn't have no bad reputation. He didn't have no scandal following him around. He didn't have anybody wandering around with a sword. He never had to run into the temple and get a hold of the horns of the altar and beg him to let him live. Hey, you know why? Because this man, you never read one bad thing about him. Hey, you never hear nothing. You know what his name means? That name Daniel means God is my judge. And his other name, Chileab, you know what it means? It means in every respect, just like his father. Here's a man that had the great David for a father. A man after God's own heart. And he looks down at this second son. Never caused him any trouble. Never rebelled against his father. Never got out of place. And he said in every respect, he's just like his father. This is the David. When he looked at Saul, he said, I'll not touch God's anointed. I'll not get out of my place. I'll not disrespect the authority God's put over me. And God, David looked down at Chileab and said, he's just like his father. That's the kind of man he is. I want to tell you here tonight, you may feel like nobody knows who you are, and nobody cares what you've done, but I'd rather be known for nothing and be in my place and be doing what God wants me to do. Here is a man raised, really, David had a dysfunctional family, but here's a man raised by Abigail. This is the wise woman that when Nabal said, I'll kill David, or David said, I'll kill Nabal, that Abigail went out to him. And Abigail, the wife of the Carmelitess, oh, married to Nabal of Carmelite, as she goes out to him and she deals with David, oh, as a wise woman, and talks to David, and David turns his anger away, and God smites Nabal. And you know what happened? David, when married Abigail, and here in the middle of this dysfunctional family, here in the middle of all this problem, she raises a son that's just like his father, known for nothing. Listen to me, you'll never find that Chileab out of place. You'll never find Chileab standing up against his daddy. You'll never find him raping his sister. You'll never find him killing his brother. He was known for nothing. But I can't help but believe that he was God's man, just like his father. I found this. Daniel or Chileab is only mentioned two places in the Bible. It's two verses I read to you. So we don't know a whole lot about him. I read a little bit from history. Read a few things. Found out a few things about him. But I found this verse. I was trying to find Chileab. Old Daniel. I was trying to find him. And I ran across this verse. 1 Chronicles 29 and 24. And all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons, likewise, of King David. I'd say it's all the living sons. I already got three dead. But all the sons of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. Here, 1 Chronicles 29, 24. Here he is. Wait a minute, he's the older brother. Amnon was first. Absalom took him out. Tried to take the throne. Daniel's next in line for the throne. Absalom rebels, number three. He's dead. Adonijah rebels, number four. He's dead. We've got a younger son named Solomon. But here this older brother is. He should have been king. He should have been king. But it says all the sons of David submitted themselves unto Solomon. I don't know what you want to be known for. I don't know what you
want to have your reputation or your character hinge on. But you know what? I don't really read of a whole lot of people saying, let's name our boy Absalom. I never read a whole lot of people saying, Adonijah, what a cute little name. Let's name that little terror Adonijah. Oh, but you read on over a little further and you'll find that God had decided to raise one of the children of the king up and put him down in Babylon and make something great out of him. And when that little boy was born, they looked at him and said, should we name him David? Should we name him Absalom? Should we name him Adonijah? And they said, no, I tell you what, let's name him Daniel. Let's name him somebody that'll stand in his place and be a great man for God and do a great work for God. Be one of the greatest prophets that the world ever had. Named after a man that was known for nothing. But yet, they looked at him and said, there's no shame or disgrace. There's no bad mark with that name. Let's name that prophet Daniel.
And of the great men in Ezekiel's day, he said, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Where'd you get your name, Daniel? From somebody who was known for nothing. He didn't cause any trouble. He didn't stir up any problems. He just stayed in his place. I love you. I'm about done. I don't know if it got better yet or not. When Brother Ingram was here preaching on Sunday morning, and he said my goal in life was to be the best pastor backer that I could ever be. And you know what? If I don't have any other goal in life than to serve God, back my pastor, and work in the church, if that's all I ever do. If Brother Ralph, my name's never in that holiness messenger that I preached Broxton. If my name's never in there that I preached Bristow, if my name for sure is never in there that I preached Richlands, if it's never in there, then when I die and go off the scene, and people look at me and say, he never did a whole lot. He never was famous. He never was well known. But you can't put a black mark on him.
You know what I would tell you? There's a lot of God's people who they've never been in the limelight. Oh, they've never been up front. They've always been somebody out in the pew. They've always been somebody in the congregation. But you can look at them and say they're known for nothing. And nothing bad about them. All you know about them is they've always been faithful. And they've always come to the house of God. And they've always stood behind the church. And they've always paid their tithe. They've never preached a camp meeting. They've never went on a missions trip. But they've been faithful to God. I want to tell you, God's going to bless you. God's going to let your name go down in recognition. God's going to say, name a Art after him. Name a Randy after him. Name a James after him. Let's go ahead and name somebody. Let their reputation live on. Let the victory go on from somebody who is known for nothing.
Because I want to tell you something. What sometimes we think is something, the lust and the looks and the liberty, what we sometimes think is something, God says is nothing. But what we sometimes think is nothing. What we sometimes think nobody notices and nobody cares. You know, I can look over here every service, know he's going to be sitting here. Every service. And he's going to be sitting here. She's going to be sitting here. She's going. Every service. I can count on that. You listen to me, young people. Your goal in life, don't make it your goal to see how popular you can get, or how big you can get, or how free you can get. Make it your goal in life to be as faithful to God, as faithful to God's house, as you possibly can. And when you're known for nothing, God said, there's somebody. Hey, in that day when I make up my jewels, that they're going to be mine. I'm going to call them in. I'm going to claim them. That they've acknowledged me. And I'm going to acknowledge them. That they shall be mine. Not only if I'm nobody and I'm known for nothing, as long as Jesus knows who I am, as long as Jesus says I've been faithful, that's all that matters. Hallelujah. Come on, Rhonda. That's all that matters. That's all. You hear me? That's all. It's Tuesday night, and there's some that aren't here, but you're here. Say, well, preacher, that's nothing but be known for nothing. Woo! Be known for just being there. Be known for being faithful. And see what God will do for you. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Why don't you raise your hands? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've come to church. You've invited people. You've prayed. You've sang in the choir. You've went to the nursing home. Oh yeah. You've went out and knocked on doors. You've invited people to church. You're nobody. But God says, you're somebody. And you know what? Old Dan, your old Chiliad, just like his father, probably became one of Solomon's counselors. And probably when Solomon needed a little advice, he went to older brother Daniel and said, Daniel, what do you think Dad would have done? What do you think Dad might have done? How do you think Dad might have handled this? If all you are is somebody, they can go to you and say, how do you think the Father would do this? And you can lead them in the right way. Then you're something. You're something. You're not just known for nothing. But in God's eyes, you're something. I wanted to uplift you a little bit. I know I was kind of rough there for a while, but I wanted to lift you up and let you know that God really does care. He sees every tear. Every time you open that Bible, every time you invite somebody to church, He knows. I invited a fellow to church the other day. He knows some of y'all. He knows several of y'all. I invited him to church. Told him where I went to church. And he said, where's that church at? I told him where the church was. And I said, well, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so that you know they go down there to that church. And he said, well, they never mentioned it to me. He said, I didn't even know they went to church anywhere. Well, he didn't come to church this morning. He didn't come to church Sunday. He may never come to church. But I know and God knows. I invited him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you do your job? I'm open these altars. Let's come. Let's come. Don't be known for your lust. Don't be known for your looks, what you can do. Don't be known for your liberty. Be known for nothing. Because God records every tear. God writes down every prayer. Hallelujah. Every faithfulness. God records it. Hallelujah.